Before we get started on Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine, we'd like to tell you about the Miracle Moments Luncheon to benefit Easter Seals UCP Port Health. Earfluence, which produces this podcast, is a proud sponsor, and we'd like you to join us May 1st, 2024 at 11:30 Eastern Time at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary. This event helps raise funds and awareness for the life-changing direct services provided to more than 40,000 children, adults, and families living with disabilities, mental health, and substance challenges so they can live their best lives. We'll put more information on Easter Seals and the luncheon in the show notes, but again, that's Wednesday, May 1st at 11:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cary, and we hope to see you there.
Attention, bourbon lovers. Are you ready for a taste sensation like no other? Old Raleigh Distillery, recently awarded Best Micro Distillery in the U.S., invites you to experience the art of whiskey blending firsthand. Located just east of Raleigh in downtown Zebulon, the distillery specializes in premium, micro-batch bourbon and limited-release whiskeys. Visit the tasting room Tuesday through Sunday to savor a wide variety of whiskeys, specialty cocktails, wine, and beer. And don't miss a chance to peek behind the curtain with a tour of the blending operation every Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 2 p.m. For more information and to plan your visit, visit oldraleighdistillery.com. Follow on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Old Raleigh Distillery for exclusive updates and behind-the-scenes content. Old Raleigh Distillery, where every sip tells a story.
You know, it's an oasis, and people are excited to take people there when they come to town. And I often take my family there when they visit from the big cities like Atlanta, New York, Toronto, and they're always wowed.
You're listening to Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I'm your host, Gina Stevens. You may know Raleigh Magazine, but what you may not know is how we get our stories. It's all inside baseball. You'd be surprised what people will tell us. Our MO is telling stories no one else is telling. So this podcast is where you get the inside access to stories you won't read anywhere else. So let's dive into some of Raleigh Magazine's biggest stories. Few things evoke the moniker Big City more than rooftop dining. Sitting high in the sky, gazing at the city's skyline. So you could say, Raleigh is arriving. This month, the most highly anticipated restaurant in years will open atop the Dillon. It has been a long time in coming, but I can tell you it is worth the wait. With me today to spill the bubbles on La Terraza, Editor-in-Chief Melissa Housem. Melissa, this is a big deal.
It really is, and it really is a long time coming. And I think the way we like to frame it is, I would even go as far as to say the most regal slice of restaurant real estate Raleigh's ever seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is going to elevate us quite literally to the likes of foodie cities. And, you know, I just overheard a conversation the other day about whether or not Raleigh would ever be a foodie city. And I was like, I can't wait for people to see this.
Right. You hear us say a lot, we keep secrets, and how long we have to keep them or how long we harass people going, are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? So I found out in spring of 2021 that Samad Hachby, the mastermind behind Molino, had signed a lease with Kane Realty to open the restaurant on top of the Dillon. We didn't share it publicly until September of 22.
Right.
And here we are in April of 24. Sharing a first look at this stunningly beautiful restaurant. And it is on the cover of the April issue of Raleigh Magazine. It is probably going to go down as one of my favorite covers.
I know. I think this is absolutely now my favorite cover. We were all, me and you and Liz were all at this shoot. It was shot by Susan Holt. And what a beautiful space. Like, what a beautiful space to realize. But also, I have to say, that was interesting. It was fun for me to watch you guys. I tried to be quiet, if y'all can believe it. It was fun for me to watch you guys envision this shoot live. And this space, and please pick up an issue and you'll see it, is there's a lot of glass. And like, envisioning the space through the glass to see the skyline and how complicated that was through the restaurant and the camera. But it's so stunning, and it's just such a cool cover.
Well, and part of it for me, and I talked through this with Lisa Jeffries with Raleighwood Media, who helps Samad with their marketing and social media and everything for all his restaurants. You wanted to share so much of it, mm-hmm. because it has such a large patio. It has a beautiful bar, dining room. But the part that people have to see is you have to see what you see sitting in the restaurant.
Absolutely.
The view was so important to me. And we had talked about all kinds of crazy things, like hiring a drone to fly it through downtown, to take photos. You know, Lisa and I were like, can we do that legally? I'm like, let's just ask forgiveness. We'll just try it. But we didn't end up doing it because we didn't know until the last minute that the timing was going to work out for this. Talk about being nimble.
I know. If you only, I mean, it's funny. It's like, you know, for 3 years, but you find out at the last minute. So that's actually interesting because, you know, we had known for a while, it's been on a month to month thing. Like, is it ready? We would like it to be a cover story. And going into this issue, it was planned with them to be a cover story. And then maybe a week and a half before the printer date, it was like, it's not ready. And we'll hold it. And so in the meantime, I think I'm just learning, and I don't like to be not prepared. I knew everything I needed to know.
It's not like
Rome was built in a day. Like, come on.
Right.
And so I went and kind of just quietly wrote the story. And then on the other side of that, and stay tuned, when it actually is not physically open this second, at least as we're recording.
It is not open.
Right.
We will let you know.
So we have a whole separate story geared up, ready to go for the open, you know, and we're working out some fine tuning some details on that. But so I kind of quietly write my version, and then Lauren's working on the opening version. And so anyway, fast forward to printer. This is like 2 days before we're going to the printer, maybe three.
Right. And I texted Samad and I said, I need to ask you a question, not because I knew he was going to go, no, it's not ready. I said, not related to the new restaurant.
Remember? It was kind of like dumb luck. It had nothing to do with La Terraza.
And he said, come over here. And I walk in and I'm like, it's ready to photograph. We could photograph it right now.
She calls me at like 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. We're going to paint Friday. Yeah. And she said, what you didn't know, I had how much I had done. And so, like, that I was a little bit prepared. And so she was like, okay,
don't panic.
But she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm walking my dog. And then she said, oh, well, I just saw Samad and we're doing it. And I was like, okay, I think you were in shock.
I was expecting you to freak out. And all of this is the behind the scenes stuff we tell you about, because a lot of magazines put their magazine to bed 90 days before they hit the streets.
Right.
And I'm sure my team would love it if we did that even 2 weeks before. But it makes it more timely.
I was going to say, this is not a true city magazine in that sense. It's almost like a hybrid between a city magazine and a news source, because it is so nimble. And I've worked with magazines all over the country. And not only do they go to the printer, like we just went to the printer on the 18th. The issue is now out as you're hearing this, but it came out on the 28th. So you're looking at like a 10-day turnaround from print to
ship.
Print to ship. I can't talk. And then not only that, but you're talking now about a story that was finessed a day before, you know, printer. Whereas like a lot of magazines, not only are they slated as many as 6 months in advance about, but then the writing and the production and all of that is done easily 30 to 60 days before.
And none of it feels timely.
You don't change it. There's never, at any of my other magazines, was there ever a moment where it's like, oh, we're about to go to the printer, or even in 3 weeks we're going to the printer and we want to swap a story. No, every now and then a story gets killed. A writer didn't do their job and you got to like panic, you know.
I wouldn't want to do that. It wouldn't feel timely to me. It would feel like I could have read that story 6 months ago or 6 months from now, and it won't make any difference because it's not relevant and timely. It's not a criticism of those magazines.
No. I was just thinking about what you said about most people wouldn't be interested. I don't know. I think maybe helping people understand like how we do what we do, and like we didn't know
we're
that
all
six
a little
weeks
crazy.
Before. Well, that part's true.
And harried because we're always, you know, we're changing things constantly.
But I do think that it's interesting that like the commitment to getting the story is really at the heart of it. And maybe my OCD part's not that interesting, but that's just lucky.
Absolutely. I walk up there and I said, Samad, if we're going to ever put this restaurant on the cover, it's going to have to be now, because the day you open the doors, I mean, so many people, it is so photo worthy and so Instagrammable that it is going
to
be.
You need to get a lottery ticket, because you had a creative director say okay, then I said okay, and then there's like one photographer that you wanted. She calls Susan and says, now it's Wednesday morning. Oh, can we do this Thursday or Friday? Well, Susan's going to be in Charlotte for a shoot. And she's like, okay. And then I was like, well, she's here today.
I called Samad and I said, can you have it cleaned and ready to go by 5 o'clock? Because I wanted sunset.
And he's like, yeah.
You call her back at lunch, y'all, 5 hours later, like I would say the biggest, one of the biggest shoots ever in the magazine, if not in the city, is like on this roof. And that's actually funny. Like, why am I there other than just, you know, interest? And then I got to be the pit bull that y'all wanted me to be because there was like a guy in our shot on the roof. And now I know why I'm here.
Some guy from Denmark sitting out there reading. But luckily, he was a Raleigh magazine fan. And I was like, he's got to move because he's in every photo.
I was like, I'll do it. And they were all like, we know you will.
But, you know, Kane, I think this space from the very beginning, I was at the opening for the Dylan when Mike and John cut the ribbon and opened it to the public. And they said, this will have a local restaurateur. So the speculation began. Would it be Jason Smith? Would it, you know, all the restaurant owners in town, would it be this person or that person? They could have gone outside the market.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have gotten national talent. We've talked about this a lot. This space is so beautiful and has so much flexibility and concept and design.
Yeah, that's really what we lean into in this issue is that foodie city, right? This is the kind of restaurant that you would find in Manhattan or Chicago or even Paris. It is towering. La Terraza literally translates to terrace, and it is beautiful indoor, outdoor, all glass, like you're in the sky, you're in the Raleigh skyline. And so you're not talking anymore about like, could we have Michelin stars? Could we attract those kind of restaurants or restaurateurs? They could have done a Jose Andres. They could have done, a Bobby Flay or whoever. They could have done anybody they wanted, but they wanted to lean local. And we do have that talent here, and they mm-hmm. recognize that. Samad also owns Molino, and that is, yes, the food's amazing, but that is a culinary masterpiece in its environment.
Right.
You know, it's an oasis, and people are excited to take people there when they come to town. And I often take my family there when they visit from the big cities like Atlanta, New York, Toronto, and they're always wowed. And that tells you something about that space. And this is, you know, the person they chose to envision the terrace on top mm-hmm. of the Dylan.
I said this earlier on a podcast, Birdies, which is Lauren and I talked about, mm-hmm. that's opening on Fayetteville Street. It meets you where you are.
Yeah.
In the moment.
Yeah.
And Samad has talked a lot about this yes. spot. So let's say you have reservations for dinner at Figulina a block away. You're early. You can hop on the elevator, come to the ninth floor, grab a drink at the most glorious 40-foot, I don't know if it's 40 feet, but it looks like it might be more than that, massive bar outside or inside. Enjoy the view, walk around the deck. Mm-hmm. So it has that. You can come upstairs, have a meeting, get a snack and a drink. You can have a, you know, casual dinner. You can have a special occasion dinner. There's even a garden room to use for mm-hmm. events. But the best part about it is you would think with a space that looks like this, mm-hmm. that this is going to be a special occasion, an uber expensive mm-hmm. night out. And to hear Samad get passionate about this, when he talks about serving size and pricing and wanting it not to be overpriced and to people to feel like, oh, I can only go there on a special occasion, which is the same thing he says about Molino, at a time when it feels like we get more and more restaurants that are on the high end. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. This is going to be affordable.
I mean, so much of what you just said is so important. Like, you can't just walk into, as much as I love these restaurants, you cannot just walk into Stanbury or Crawford and Son and go have a drink at the bar. Those seats are reserved for diners. And, you know, Stanbury doesn't even take reservations, so you're going to wait a while. Worth it. Absolutely. But it's getting harder and harder to find this level of restaurant that you could just go have a drink and experience it without the full-on commitment. Of course, you can dine there if you want to. And then translating or transitioning to that, now you're talking about, it isn't just like, oh, I want to go there when I like pass the bar or turn 50 or, you know, whatever, because it's a once in a lifetime thing. No, this Molino, yes, you can ball out if you want. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You can have 7 bottles of champagne and spend, you know, a lot of money, but you can also order a really good pizza and have a bottle of wine and get out of there in less than $50 or $40. Listen, I hardly go anywhere anymore without having a cocktail and an entree and tipping for less than that for one person.
I local icon since 1949 and where Raleigh comes to celebrate, savor, and enjoy. Village District is celebrating 75 years of tradition and taste. You can join the celebration for their 75th anniversary on Saturday, April 20th from 3 to 8 p.m. on Woodburn Road. Enjoy live music, pop-ups, a kid-friendly area, and the launch of their Village 75 beer, exclusively brewed by Standard Beer and Food. For more event details and other Village District happenings, you can follow Village District on Instagram at @ShopVillageDistrict, visit their website at shopvillagedistrict.com, or sign up to receive texts by texting the word VILLAGE to 919-701-0202. Time to add the mix into the mix of your go-to hotspots. With signature craft cocktails and neat pours, 12 rotating craft beers, and 8 rotating fine wines, plus cider and bubbles, the mix has the perfect pour for everyone. Take flight with beer, wine, whiskey, mezcal, and tequila. Or not in the spirit, craft cannabis gummies and high seltzers also invite. Sprawl out on the patio, post up on the couch with your laptop on a weekday, catch the big game on multiple TVs, or cozy up in the wine library for an upscale paired tasting. Weekly events keep the good times coming, from tastings to live music and more. For the full lineup of events and offerings, visit bottlemix.com. Yes, with two X's, so that's bottlemixx.com.
You know, and mm-hmm. I know pizzas are like meant to be shared, that's easier, but, and he's going to have this sort of Mediterranean and Italian inspired, very authentic fare, you know, so mm-hmm. stay tuned for the menu. And I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for sharing. It's just the fact that it's so approachable. And then I think that's important that a lot of people just don't understand how the Dylan Rooftop works.
Yes.
And so.
If you're not familiar, to the left of the entrance to Barcelona, there, it looks like you're walking into an office building or apartment building. Mm-hmm. Glass doors, says the Dylan. You go in, up the elevator to the 9th floor. Currently, the rooftop is open until 7 p.m. at night. You can go up there, take photos, enjoy it.
There's little tables. That's why there were people in the shot. There were people reading and like they brought food up there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so the way it's going to be is that you'll still be able to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to come up there to go to La Terraza. But you can if mm-hmm. you want to. It's still both uses for the space is what I'm trying to say.
I'm trying to think of another place to visualize it. So basically like if you picture the whole roof, the maybe draw a line down it, for lack of a better way to visualize it, there will still be the side that has the downtown tables that people can just come and populate. And then the bar is very, very clearly belongs to La Terraza.
It's going to have planters with lots of greenery sort of separating it, and their outdoor tables and chairs for dining outside.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not unlike you would see on a sidewalk, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just like it's clear that this part's for the public and this part's for the bar.
But he wants it to you not to feel like you have to have a reservation. If you want to dash up there, you're on the roof taking photos and you decide, this would be better with a glass of Prosecco. Mm-hmm. Oh, and let me tell you, part of what I saw when we did this photo, there was nothing in them, unfortunately, but there are three of the most beautiful floor-to-ceiling coolers. They are just stunningly gorgeous. One is for red, one is for white, and one is for bubbles.
Yep. He's very
committed. I am very excited about that.
Yep. Gina loves Prosecco, and Smott is very committed to the bubbles, so...
It's funny, someone said, oh, I really like the wallpaper. I said, sweetheart, that is not wallpaper. That is Italian stone. Mm-hmm. What's on the floor and on the walls is Italian stone. The furniture was purchased during COVID in Italy when Samad was traveling. The same with the tile. The bar was designed and created in Italy. He laughs. He says it took a year of planning, a year of building, and a year of permitting. That's how he describes what he's the process.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
And what's funny about Samad, and I kind of like now, I didn't like at the time, was that we kept saying, do you have renderings? He goes, I'm not spending $75,000 on a photo of what it's going to look like. I'm going to wait and show it to you. And he just said that he didn't do that with Molino. He didn't. Yeah. He said, I just don't, nothing wrong with it for other people who do it. He just doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And so we kept seeing what looked like architectural drawings. Kind of hard to visualize in terms of the way he was talking. But when you walk in there, The color palette is this rustic orange to match the, I guess, the rafters. I don't know what the right word would be for what's on the patio that's part of the Dylan. And this royal blue. It's just a really beautiful color palette that fits with the skyline and the orange that's in the building.
Yeah, it really is cool. It's very modern, very intentional. It's, yeah, I mean, you definitely have to grab the issue and check it out. And I think it's funny, too, while we're up there, Gina tells me, because you had gone up, obviously, as we mentioned, you were up there like two nights before or the night before. Oh, God, it was the night before. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
The night before.
Anyway, so she tells me on Wednesday, she's like, he has an AI oven. And so once I was, once we're all there and they were shooting, I also felt like it was really funny. Like, I know you did want me to see the oven, but you know how when you're little and your parents are like, go over there? She was like, oh, smart, show Melissa the AI oven. And I was like, okay, I see this. But
I really didn't, but I knew you'd be able to get more out of him about the oven. He said AI oven and he couldn't tell me anything more. And I just kept asking questions. I'm like, so how does it work? And he goes, well, anybody can cook on it. You say bread. And you push this button and you push that and or chicken and you want it grilled.
Oh my gosh. We ended up in there for 15 minutes because we started pressing buttons.
I heard it start squealing.
Chef Paul had to come in there and save us because, and then it was like the way I feel when I go to like the car dealership, like everything that Saman and I did, like Paul did it and it did it, it responded differently. But basically like we were just messing with it. And then we were like, okay, I want to turn it off. And it was like, still, we're just figuring it out. And I like press and hold the power button, and then Paul comes and presses and holds the power button, and it turns off. And I'm like,
really? He told me, he said, even you could cook. And I said, I can cook. He goes, you know what I mean.
I know. Well, obviously, I shouldn't be playing with the AI oven because I didn't know how to use it, but
he's got two of them. Not only did he buy one, he's bought two. He goes, well, if we get used to using one and it breaks down, what am I going to do? So he's got two of them.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anybody else has one, but it obviously seems very, it was just cool because basically you can put it in, you can put anything you, I mean, anything you can dream. It wasn't just like bread and chicken. It was like all these different things.
Oh yeah, but it just had all the buttons and you could push it and then how you'd like it cooked.
Yeah.
I was fascinated.
It was a sliding scale of like, I want it this way and for this long. Anyway, but that's not, I do want to be clear that that is not their only oven.
Oh, no, no. Gosh, no. That it's just a, you know, Samad like was so proud of the kitchen. He said to me, he goes, look at this kitchen. Because, you know, he took over, I do not know what was in the Molino space before he did Babylon. So I don't know if it was a restaurant before Babylon or not. That's pre-me here because I went to Babylon. But I know that he worked with the kitchen he had, right?
Yeah,
existing. So when I saw this kitchen, he goes, look, isn't she beautiful?
Yes.
He was very excited about the kitchen.
Yeah.
But not open now. Stay tuned to Raleigh Magazine Instagram.
Yeah, I mean,
for
I guess
opening date.
I mean, we're recording a week or so in front of this. It shouldn't be open.
It'll be up in mid April.
Yeah.
A couple of rapid fire questions.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh God.
And it's hard when you start thinking about this. You've been to all kinds of great rooftops. What is your favorite rooftop restaurant, not bar, in another city that you've traveled to? And so you've lived in DC and Chicago. I lived in Atlanta. Scottsdale didn't have much rooftop. It was too hot.
Yeah, so I'm not sure I can think of many rooftop restaurants that stand out. Well, that's not true. I can think of a couple in D.C., but, you know, they don't have, like, the scaling towers the way that others do. And obviously, all that comes to mind in Chicago is it's not even called the Hancock Tower anymore, but the bar up there. I actually think it's in New York. Was it last year or the year before? Year before Memorial Day weekend, I went to New York, and I'm not going to know the name of it off the top of my head, but I highly recommend it. So just email me if you want the name of it, and I'll find it. But there was a sushi restaurant on top of a tower. My mom and I went to New York, and we walked there in the rain. She's like, how are we going to dine on the rooftop in the rain? It was so cool. I think it makes me think of La Traza in a way because we were outside, but we weren't. Mm-hmm. We were covered. There was a lot of glass. There was some open spaces. It was kind of like a jungle in there. I don't know. I kind of felt like I was in a rainforest. It was very verdant. And
you're going to have to find the name of that and share it in the notes for this podcast because everybody's going to want to know. I think mine most recent experience was Cindy's. in Chicago.
Yes.
And I liked it for the same reasons that I know I'm going to love the concept, this sort of day part or where you are. Because we went up there to have a drink, ended up having dinner, then ended up back on the patio to have another drink.
Yeah.
And so, you know, experienced in all ways. And you were looking out on the Bean. It was so it was just stunning. Great view. And I really love the spot.
I love that.
Is there another big city experience? We laughed and said it was a couple of years ago that we had our first $14,000 a month penthouse. And now we have, you know, we've had rooftop bars. We had those, most attached to a hotel. But now we have a true rooftop restaurant. Is there another big city concept or amenity that you can think of easily that you'd like us to have?
Yeah, and I can only think of it easily because stay tuned to the May issue for our, one of our features on what Raleigh, what is, you know, what Raleigh's missing, I guess, or the next big thing. I think the one that comes to mind for me, speaking of Chicago, is that Buckingham Fountain. You know, people often talk about how Raleigh doesn't have water downtown. We don't have a river, you know, a lake. That fountain was obviously man-made. That's right. Something like that, some kind of water feature. It doesn't have to be a fountain. You know, I don't think it has to be a river. I think there could be some kind of draw, something. I mean, I just love water, obviously, but a lot of downtowns are built on rivers. And so we've talked a lot about that. I think there's some way to lean into it. What about you?
I've racked my brain about this. You know, I think Dick's Park becoming, it'll take a few years to get there, many years, but being more like Central Park and more activated on a regular basis and somehow connecting it to our city better. I really don't want to have to get in my car to leave downtown to get to the park and figuring out if that's a greenway, if that's, you know, I don't know what that is.
I just saw, it's funny you say that, I just saw an aerial view in a movie in this week of Central Park. And I forget. I don't know who forgets, but I didn't remember until I see that aerial view that it's like, I know it's Central Park and it's in the middle of Manhattan, but when you see that view, it's so magnificent. And the city is literally like around
wraps it. Wraps around it.
And it's this massive park that's uninterrupted. And Dick's Park can absolutely be that, but how do you build the city around it more specifically?
Right.
You know?
And just how to connect from being downtown and integrating the two.
Right,
there is a way. You look at Atlanta and you look at the Beltway and the things that they've built in terms of connecting districts. It is doable. And once you have the connectivity, then things will build up around the connectivity.
That's a good point, because what I was going to say about Central Park is you can just walk right in from so many points in the city. But that's the connectivity. But the Beltline in Atlanta is not old. It's still new in my mind.
It is.
And that's something they built and figured out how to use.
Exactly. And it connects. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, cheers.
Cheers. This has been Office Talk with Raleigh Magazine. I hope after hanging out with us, you feel more like a Raleigh insider. You can find copies of our magazine around town or subscribe for $10 for 10 issues. We'd love it if you gave this podcast a rating and review and share it with your friends. This podcast was edited and produced by Earfluence. I'm Gina Stevens. We'll see you again soon. Want more of Raleigh Magazine in between issues? Visit RaleighMag.com and subscribe to our newsletters. They come out Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. 5-minute read keeps you up to date. And especially on Friday, Dish on This: where to eat, where to drink, what to do this weekend. Subscribe for free at RaleighMag.com.